Well, good evening, church. It's Pastor Greg coming to you from my home today. And we are continuing our study in the book of Genesis, studying creation. And tonight we will be talking about light. So we have been covering what I'd like to talk about before we get into the creation story, the day-by-day portion. I wanted to cover some issues that I thought would be foundational, and so this is the last one until we get into the first day of creation, but I wanted to talk about God being the light, right? So in the first day of creation, God says, you know, clearly in Genesis 1:3, he said, let there be light, and light appeared, and as a thing that separated specifically from the darkness, right? So the phrase, you know, let there be light, it could be confusing for some people because the English translation in the Bible is always a little bit different than the original language, right? And it's not that God was asking for permission, you know, could there possibly be some light, or can you give me some light? It's not that at all. It's not asking a question. It's more of a command. Let it be, you know. So a lot of people wonder what God was saying or who he was speaking to. And, you know, was there some cosmic person that was holding on to the light? And that's just not the case here. But I want to talk about light because it's important, right? Because ultimately, what is said in the first chapter of Genesis has an effect on every other word that's written in the Bible after that, right? This idea of light is really important. It's paramount, really, to understanding the nature of God, not only how God works and how he moves in the universe, but more importantly, how he moves in our life and what he does in our life and what he brings to our life, right? So let's talk a little bit this morning about what it means. So in going deeper, what exactly does this phrase mean? Well, the phrase let there be light is a translation of this Hebrew word, yihai, which is translated the Latin transliteration of that is light exists, right? So a good literal translation is God saying, look, light is exists now and exists because of his presence. So God is speaking into the void, right? Commanding light from, you know, to come into being. And it's just really God flicking the switch and bringing his presence into this place was without form and void, right? And darkness over to the face of the deep. This is really God, you know, sort of creating his presence in the earth. And that is a huge thing because, again, all this does is trickle down into every other thing that we read. So the Bible tells us that God created the heavens and the earth and everything else that exists simply by speaking them into existence. It was a command. It was, something that God spoke into existence. And we've talked about that importance before because God still has the ability to speak things into existence, even into your life and into my life. So he, you know, his personality and his power and his creativity and the beauty of his creation was expressed in this, you know, command. It's much in the way that we see an artist, right? I have a painting over my mantle in my home. It's a Christmas cottage, and the artist that painted it is one that is known for the ability to paint light, right? And that's not easy to do. When you look at the painting, like, wow, those are vivid colors. So this idea of light existed first in God's mind and was given, form by these words, let there be light, and light existed, right? So what is the significance of it? Well, light is often used as a metaphor in the Bible. And the word illumination, right, this is a divine enlightenment, so to speak, of the human heart or the truth. It has to do with bringing things into the light. And you know, we all know how powerful light is, right? When we were young in youth ministry, we would take kids up to the mountains and we would talk about the importance of them being the light of the world. And we would, you know, shut all the lights off in the cabin until it was pitch black. And then we would light a match. And that little match had the ability to illuminate the whole entire room, right? You could see faces and images, and things came into being because of the light. Well, it's a lot. That's pretty much the same thing that happens spiritually. The spiritual illumination is a kind of creation that God occurs in our heart. And God is the one who said, let the light shine out of the darkness. You know, remember, the world was completely dark. Let the light shine out of the darkness. And he made his light shine in our hearts to give us light of the knowledge of the glory of God displayed in Jesus Christ. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 6. Let me read it again. It says, God, who said, let the light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. So Jesus himself says that he is the light of the world, John chapter 8, 12. So we know that not only does God's presence, you know, have this illumination to it, this could easily be, as we've spoken before, you know, when God comes in, the Spirit hovered over the face of the deep, God was there, and he said, let there be light. That's the presence of Jesus. He is the light of the world. And remember, all this happened before the moon and the sun was created. And so the first couple of days of heaven were really lit up by the glory of God through the power of the Trinity. So let's talk about our light. So when God said, you know, let there be light at the creation, and light appeared, it showed God's, you know, creative power and absolute control over everything. And I think that the physical light that God made on the first day of creation is a wonderful picture of what happens in every single heart that trusts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, right? Because he's the true light. And there is no need to walk in darkness of sin and death in Christ. We will never walk in darkness, but we'll have the light of light. John chapter 8, verse 12. We're never going to walk in darkness. We have this light. We can walk in the light, right? So let's consider some things to take away from this. So the first question is, how can this be? So how could this be if, you know, the morning and the evening were the first and second and third day, you know, there was no sun, there was no moon, but you have this beautiful light. It's the same light that's going to come forth in heaven when we get, you know, to be with the Lord forever. This is only, you know, if you have a problem with this, it's only a problem because you don't understand, and I don't understand, you know, the infinite and omnipotence of God, right? So the second thing here is God is light, and God does not need the sun. He does not need the moon. He does not need the stars. Those things, the moon and the stars, they reflect light, and the sun produces light. But the light that God produces is so much more appealing to man. And, you know, there's a beautiful thing. It's if you live in a place that's cloudy, like right now we're going through June gloom, right? And when the sun comes out, it's just a really good feeling. That's what happened when God appeared on this earth through this illuminating of everything, that feeling that we get when the sun comes out. It's the same thing. 1 John 1, 5 says, this is the message that we have heard and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. No darkness at all. God himself was the light of the first 3 days, and he's going to be the light when we get to the new heavens and the new earth that Revelation talks about. Revelation 22:5 says there will be no more night. They will not need to light the lamp or light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them the light, and they will reign forever and ever. And that is awesome, right? That's towards the end of Revelation, talking about the new heaven and the new earth. And so until he created the sun, the moon, the stars, God miraculously provided light during the day, and, you know, may have done so during the night as well. And that's just an amazing thing. So that's the next thing that I want to pull out from here, is this eternal light, because this is the reason at the beginning when I told you that this is so significant, this creation of light, this God speaking light into existence, right, has another meaning, because it would speak to the sort of the ministry of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We talked about that, John 8:12. And much more important than that, that, you know, the light of the day and the night, the light, you know, provides this eternal life to all who believe in him. when we come to Jesus, we come to the light. When we come to Jesus, we come to this place where God, you know, turns on the supernatural ability for us to see what sin is, right? That's what light does. It reveals the things that are in the darkness. Not to gross you out, but, you know, you've all gone into a room before that's pitch dark, and you turn the light on, and if there's little critters in there, they start running, right? They bolt everywhere because they can't handle the light. Those who do not believe in him are going to be doomed to outer darkness, Matthew chapter 8 says, where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The most significant thing with respect to the light, though, guys, by far, okay, by far, is that this light, God being the light, right, and his plan that believers shine forth is this. This whole idea of God being the light is a reflective process. You say, what does that mean? It's a reflective process. As believers, we are to reflect the light. We're to reflect it. It's to be seen in us. You are all children of the light, the Bible says, and the children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5. God is the creator of physical light as well as the giver of spiritual light by which we have been able to see the truth, right? He said, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. That's the light. That's understanding the light. That's standing in the light with all of our frailties, with all of our weakness, with all of our inability. We stand in the light of God and we're accepted and loved by him, and we become new creations there. So light exposes that which is hidden in the darkness, and it shows things as they really are. So to walk in the light means to know God and understand the truth and to live in that righteousness of God. And, you know, Christians, you know, there's this idea that, you know, Christians have this responsibility, you know, to express this light. And that's exactly right. I mean, we have to be spot on with, you know, we can't sit idly by and watch others continue in darkness of sin, you know, knowing that this darkness, they're destined for eternal separation from God. We're seeing these, you know, people right now in our cities, and they're angry and they're ticked off and they're bitter. And, you know, that's not to say that racism is not at the forefront or should not be at the forefront. It should, right? But we need to fight racism with light. We don't need to fight racism with more violence. We don't need to fight racism with more division and more separation. You know, if you want to fight racism, the best way to do that is let the light of God come and shine, not only in our hearts, but in the hearts of all the people. And that's the true unifying light that can only bring people together, not a set of values, not just a set of political beliefs, but being in that light together with the Lord is just an amazing thing. So the light of the world, you know, it has this desire to banish darkness, and that's what it does. The light comes in and it destroys darkness. And taking this light of the gospel to the world, you know, it's necessary that things are revealed in people that would rather have them hidden. You know, the Bible clearly says men love the darkness. They didn't love the light. They didn't understand the light. That doesn't mean that we don't go out and you know, preach it and proclaim it, right? Light is uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to those who are accustomed in the dark. I mean, that's just the way it is. Jesus, you know, is the sinless Son of God. He's the true light, according to, you know, John chapter 1, verse 9. And as adoptive sons, we are to reflect his light in this world. Our goal, you know, at witnessing to the unsaved is to open the eyes and turn them from darkness to light, Acts 26, verse 18, and from the power of Satan into the power of God. That is our job. That is the gospel power that we have. That's why it's so important and so significant. Church, this whole concept of light, right? I want to make sure that we bring this into creation, and that it wasn't the sun and it wasn't the moon. And if it ever is the sun and the moon, then we're in trouble. The light that we need in our life is not the light that we see outside. It's the light that God shines in our hearts to make change from the inside out. I pray today that you would take the time to really understand, is this light that is in you, is this manufactured goodness that you're trying to you know, achieve, or is this truly the light that is from the inside out in your life that God brings into your life to banish the darkness, not only in your life, but in this world as well, by you reflecting that. And are you reflecting that? Are you letting it shine? The Bible says, let your light shine. Let your good work shine. Let all these things be, you know, manifest for everybody to see. It's not to be hidden. We're not to put our lamp under a shade or a bushel. We're to let it shine like a city on a hill. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall no longer walk in darkness. That is a and or statement. You're either walking in darkness or you're walking in light following the Lord. I pray blessing upon you tonight. If you have been listening to these sermons and online and have not given your life to the Lord, boy, I encourage you to do so. The Bible says that you need to confess with your heart and believe with your mind and your soul that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he died on a cross for you. And if you believe that, confess that, and pray that, you will be saved and you'll be changed from the inside out. And that light will do glorious and wonderful things, in not only today, but all the days of your life until you see the light of heaven. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for those who are listening. You have shown us, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, that we do justly, that we love mercy, and that we walk humbly with our God. I pray that we go do that now. God bless you, church.